Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, Welsh Forest Focus. Nottingham Forest are heading into the home straight of the season with a real need for Premier League points. As they head to Brighton on Sunday, we'll discuss if it's a great time to face the Seagulls or a terrible time after their defeat to Roma last night. We'll also touch on the future of Forest's loan players in the company of, first of all, Reds fan Pete Blackburn. Pete, how are you doing?
Really good, thanks, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Second person on the panel today is Emily Anderson. Emily, good to have you back with us. Are you okay?
Yeah, good afternoon. All good, yeah.
It is afternoon. I was going to say.
I know.
We're a little late to doing this than normal. No, oh, they do fly by. Morning to everyone who's with us. I'll say a few good mornings in a sec. But first, Emily, just kick us off on, in general, how are you feeling about this Brighton game on Sunday?
I am currently feeling really positive. I, like everyone else, I think, at the City Ground last weekend, I was so wounded by the result and so deflated. But that quickly turned to determination to actually... We were so close to get something out of the current Premier League leaders that actually, why can't we do it elsewhere? And I was delighted to see that Brighton lost 4-0 away at Roma last night. Although the slight worry is that they might feel they're out of that competition, so focused on the Premier League. But hopefully that will have dented a bit of confidence among the players and the fans. The worry is that Brighton have got really good home form. They've only lost once at home this season. But they have picked up quite a few draws at home as well. So I'm going there optimistically hoping for a win, but I think we need to get at least a draw. I feel like it's a must not lose game on Sunday, purely for our confidence, because our form's obviously not great as well. We know that, don't we? So yeah, I'm confident.
Certainly do know that, yeah. And we'll get into that a bit more. A few good mornings then. Keith McCormack in Zanzibar. Again, good to have you, Keith, with us. Spreading that even wider, Nick Shillingford in Japan. Thank you very much for joining us, Nick. And JB, MFFC 1972, who is in Bangkok. And obviously, I assume there's people more closely, geographically, watching us as well. And Sport Billy, who is in Oman as well. And Manuel Lawrence, who's in Kuala Lumpur. Gosh, very international flavours today. Just some general thoughts on the game from you, Pete, and then we'll get into a few specifics.
Yeah, I'm in the same place as Emily, I think, really. I feel pretty optimistic about things. What I like about the game is it feels to me like their strengths and their weaknesses are things that suit us potentially. I think ideally we want to be in a position where the opposition have a bit more of the ball than us, that they playing high at the pitch and they give us opportunities to get in behind and hurt them on the break. And I think that's exactly what we'll see from Brighton. They're obviously a possession-heavy side. They'll be playing an awful lot of short passes, and they'll have the ball a lot more than us, I think. But I mean, if you have a look at their sort of statistical profiles and such like, they look pretty concerned against counter-attacking football. They don't like defending against quick, skillful players. They struggle to stop opponents creating chances, and those are all our strengths. So I feel pretty good about us going there, playing aggressively, playing with intent and looking to turn defence into attack with speed and precision. We'll go on to talk about the situation with the players they've got available and where their morale and mentality might be. But I think it's an opportunity for us, and I think we can go there and get something.
Hopefully so, hopefully so. We'll get into Brighton a bit more next, I think. Dr. Pegg in Qatar and Peter Hawksley in Cape Town, and then slightly closer to home, Dave Tomlin in Wallerton, Derek in West Bridgford, and Laura Mitchell in Ruddington. Brian Boss says, if Temps's mum doesn't show up, I'm unsubscribing. If Temps's mum does show up in the background of any of these screens, then I'm very worried. So I think we'll be all right on that front. Let's talk a little bit more about Brighton and then this notion of it's a good time to play them. I dropped a message in our, was it our chat or a different one, saying that, oh, I think we're going to win now. And then Mikey replies straight away in a very Mikey way, saying, no, we're definitely going to lose. Brighton are going to have written off Europe and they'll be well up for this. And Chris Aylmer said the same thing to me when I messaged him. So have I got it completely wrong, Pete, that it's a good time to play them? So they lost 4-0 last night, 3-0 to Fulham, and they lost to Wolves in the FA Cup. So their season's kind of cascaded in the kind of the way that Arsenal's normally does in years gone by. So does that make them the traditional wounded animal, or do you think it actually is the perfect time to get at them?
Well, it's a great question. I mean, it's one that I think reveals more about the people answering the question than any of the actual content itself, to be honest. I mean, look, the situation with the game last night, there are obviously a couple of ways of looking at it, and you can easily look at that and say, look, they're going to have a reaction to that. There's no way they play like that again. The manager's going to be furious. He's a famously a good man manager, a great tactician, and a student of the game, an analyst of the game, and you expect him to find a way to bring them back from that. Or there's a totally opposite view that, you know, they're damaged by what happened, and it's going to hurt. I mean, I'm not sure if either of those things is necessarily accurate. I'm sure there's a picture somewhere in between. But I find it hard to believe that really a team loses 4-0 a few days before you play them. And I mean, if we talk about any of the goals and the manner of that defeat, it was pretty rank defending in quite a lot of moments. They look really vulnerable. I find it hard to believe that you can't take optimism from that, to be honest, and see opportunities to attack them and for us to have some success. So, I mean, if I'm going to fall on one or other side of the question, I'm going to fall on the optimistic side, I think. But like I say, I think the answers to the question probably just reveal more about the people who are answering them and their own state of terror about the situation we're in.
I think so. I mean, my immediate interpretation of it is it can only be a positive thing, I think. I mean, they've got a lot of injuries. You know, Mitoma's out. Solly March is going to miss the whole season. They're out of form. I really believe in fixtures. I know Fletch often says on here, perfectly reasonable, don't target games. But I feel like this is one to target. And there's a couple of people in the comments as well saying Rafik and Greg both referencing the games against them last season. Obviously, the 0-0 was an absolute siege and we were incredibly lucky. But the one at home was a real turning point. And I feel we can kind of build on that to some extent. What about you, Emily, on this notion of playing them at the right time? If it was at our place, would you feel more confident or did it not matter? Because we
probably not, actually, because this year... for whatever reason, the City Ground isn't the fortress it was last season. But I agree with you, Pete, in that I personally think they'll be wounded, because remember when we played them last season and beat them 3-1 at home, wasn't it? That was off the back of a cup defeat, wasn't it? Did they go out in penalties? And that was, again, the sort of game that you thought, right, are they going to come to the City Ground and really show us what they've got? And the problems with Brighton at the moment is they can't defend. So I feel like our faster players on the pitch and Ty and people like that could really take advantage of their poor defending. He mentioned about some of the goals from last night. Two of the goals, at least, you could say, Dunk just gave the ball away to Lukaku, didn't he? So I feel we can really build on that. And also, like Pete said, they like to play with possession. We like to play out of possession. We like to play on the counter-attack. So it feels like it is totally in our hands on Sunday. When we played Liverpool last weekend, it was just batten down the hatches. Let's just go for it. Get the ball when we can and see what happens. Whereas I feel like if we've got a proper game plan against Brighton on Sunday and everyone sticks to the game plan, works really hard, we should surely be able to get 3 points out of that game.
I think the other thing as well, Pete, is which Forest are going to turn up. A lot of onus is on us. That if we turn up and play like we did at Villa, then we've got absolutely zero chance. But if we play like we did, you know, at home against Liverpool, then we have every chance, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's absolutely the problem. And I guess that's the story of the season in a sense, isn't there? You know, every time it looks like we're a together team that have sort of finally got rid of some of those demons, you know, you get a game like Villa where it just looks like we're so fragile, I suppose. And I think that perhaps the state that we're in may be the case that we really rely on these on sort of good starts to games where we look tight, we look resolute. Perhaps we look like we're going to create, but also when we do create, we take those chances, because I worry slightly about the mentality of the team if we're not taking chances and if the pressure comes back on us. I think there is still a fragility to Forest, and I think we probably need a little bit to go our way in the sort of earlier stages of the game, whether that's with the ref, whether that's with our chances or whatever. Yeah, there's a fragility to us still, but I think that we answered quite a few of those questions against Liverpool, save for the end of the game, which let's not talk about again. But I do think we provide a lot of the answers. So I think if we can go into the game with good intent and good organisation, as we showed for most of the time last time out, then we'll be okay. I hope that Villa performance that you reference is, you know, long gone. And if you look back at the league form and the league performances under Nuno, there's an awful lot more good to take than there is bad. And the moments that have killed us have been those really, really brutal lapses in concentration, lapses of intensity that we talked about so often. But the majority of it has been really quite positive, and it's easy for that all to be undermined by those small moments. But I think if we try and have a bit of perspective about it, it is a pretty positive picture overall under him. And I think that the Villa game was a blip, and this will be much more like the performances we've seen in the other games recently. And I think those will give us a good chance. That level of performance gives us a good chance.
Yeah, I think so. Is it safe to come back to you, Emily? Give us a thumbs up if it is.
Not really. I might just shut the door of the room I'm in because someone's come to our front door and Freddie's, yeah.
Bear with me.
My dog was kicking off through Emily's previous answer as well, so I don't know if I'm safe, but we'll see.
He's revised the podcast policy of people like hotels, no dogs. Right. Let's take a moment to thank our sponsors as ever before we get into some lineups. Then tonight is Heavyweight Boxing Showdown from Saudi Arabia. You can watch it at Trent Navigation. Anthony Joshua versus Francis Ngannou. And we're very grateful for the NAV support. And if you're not going to Brighton and you fancy getting together with some Forest fans at the weekend, then do go down to the best Forest fan pub in the city. Right. The other thing I was going to ask before we get into lineups, Emily, just about the general approach to the game, is a bit of a cricket cliche about the big first hour. And it kind of feels to me like get the first goal, make the fans a bit nervous here. Is it a game where we have to go there and be positive, which I think is the general theme under Nuno anyway?
Oh, absolutely. And I feel like every game we go into these days with Nuno, we go in with that positive attitude of being able to get the first goal. For me, it's about whether we can defend and stop them from scoring. And, you know, they have had a few, they've been on the end of a few not great results, haven't they? Not particularly at home recently, but they got thumped by Luton at Kenilworth Road. I even feel, actually, even if we go 1-0 down in the game, I still think we'll be in it, because we're that sort of team at the moment. I just hope we can defend like we did against Liverpool for 97 minutes that we did. And I think we'll be okay. The more I'm hearing what you guys are saying and the more I think about it, you know, this is totally in our hands. I do feel like we need more than a one-goal lead in the game, though. I don't know how many goals we need for me to be relaxed in a game, but at the moment it's definitely more than one.
Yeah, I think we've certainly put a chance in our own hands if we turn up and play well. I suppose if Brighton turn up and play like they absolutely can, then it's going to be a very difficult afternoon. They've got good players like Ansu Fati's come back in, and Pascal Gross seems like he's playing again. But they're missing so many of the stars of last season aren't there. And Estupiñán, who I've mentioned before, is just not the player he was this season. So, yeah, I just feel that there's a real onus on us to actually turn up and give ourselves an opportunity. Right, let's get into our lineups. Oh, what an idiot. I've not put this in. Hang on a sec.
Do you need someone to fill?
No, I can do it. It takes literally 5 seconds. Don't worry. It's coming now. There's only one team today, by the way, because my team and Emily's team are identical and Pete's team had one change in it. So I'll go through it. I'll let Emily talk through her team and my team, and then we'll just get Pete to address any changes. And then we'll discuss a few names. There are some really interesting marginal decisions today, I think. So this is what we've got. Matt Sells in goal, back four, Nico Williams, Omobamadeli, Murillo and Harry Toffolo. And then myself and Emily have got Dominguez and Yates sitting in midfield. Pete's got Sangare in for Yates, and that was a really marginal call for me as well. And then it's Elanga, Gibbs-White, Hudson-Odoi in behind Taiwo Awoniyi. Give us some thoughts on that team, Emily, and then we'll open out a bit more.
First of all, I didn't. My team's slightly different to that.
That's standard for me.
No, that's okay. Team? That's fine. So it's exactly the same, but instead of Omobamadeli, I went with Felipe. Purely for his defensive capabilities. And I was thinking about defending against Dunk in the box on the corners. But Matt Sells, we got a glimpse, didn't we, of what he can do with his hands last weekend against Liverpool. He kept us in the game just before all the goal. I think the back four for me speaks for itself. I think Toff and Nico on the fullbacks have more than proved themselves. I wasn't so sure about what to do in midfield, whether to maybe start with Danilo or Yates, but I feel like Yates had such a good game against Liverpool. I think he deserves his starting shirt, definitely. And for me, that front four of Awoniyi, Gibbs-White, Hudson-Odoi, Elanga could really punish Brighton, because as we've seen, they are really struggling defensively, and that the pace and the skill of those four could work really well against Brighton.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Emily's absolutely right. I've messed it up as normal. She did have Felipe in her team, and that's a marginal call we'll come on to. But the one you did definitely have, Pete, was Sangare in central midfield as well. What's the thinking there? I guess there's a lot of ways we could go in that position as well, and maybe you were a bit torn, but why did you opt for Sangare in the end?
Oh, I'm not sure if there is any thinking there or not, to be honest, Matt. I think there are a few marginal calls in the team, and one of them is that centre mid spot. I think Yates played really well against Liverpool, and I think his performances have been good recently. I don't actually really have any criticism of that team and Yates being picked there at all, and I'd actually probably be secretly quite pleased if he played. I think he's given us drive, intensity and game management at his best recently. But I'm sort of clinging to the hope, and this is all totally vibes-based, I think. I'm sort of clinging to the hope that Sangare comes back into the team now, and he provides some of that stuff that Yates can do, but also provides just a bit more quality on the ball. His ability to hold the ball, to just wriggle out of tight positions, to carry it and to move the ball in a way that might increase our potency going forward. Because I think if we're going to stay up, we probably need to be slightly more efficient when we are turning defence into attack. And I think his ability to do that could potentially be definitive. But let's face it, it is vibes-based and it is pretty hopeful stuff, because we haven't seen it yet. Certainly not in any sort of sample size that would be you know, relevant to a statistician. So there's a big element of hope about that. I think it's not right to boil the season down to these sorts of small moments and these sorts of decisions and one player. But I think the chance we have with Sangare is potentially could be a slightly transformative thing for the team if he can be the player that we want him to be and that we sort of believed him to be beforehand, I think. So I'm clinging to that. And my sort of vision of Forest going forward towards the end of the season is that Sangare and Dominguez play in those games where we're pretty concerned about the opposition, but that we still feel that we can, you know, we can make an impact. They give us plenty as a duo in there, but they also give you a little bit more strength and resolve in front of the back four than perhaps with Danilo. And then in the games where we're going to be looking to dominate the ball, there are games coming up in this run-up that we have to go and win, and I'll be using Danilo in those. And then I'm using Ryan Yates as a game management option off the bench, or if we feel there's a specific threat that needs to be countered. I think he did a great job with Van Dijk against Liverpool, and I think he can do that in open play as well. I'm not near enough of a student of the game to really know whether Yates is a sort of option for this game that we need to counter a particular threat or not. And as such, I've sort of just gone for Sangare in there because I think that's where we're going to need to be heading as the season comes to a conclusion. But as I say, there's a lot of hope about that.
Yeah, I mean, I just slightly favoured Yates because Brighton are so good on the ball and sometimes you need someone to be a disruptor. And if he gives away four fouls and gets a booking, as long as it didn't cost us a goal, obviously. I don't mind that. And then you bring Sangare on. But I think it's the classic thing that we don't see training. And if Sangare has shown up in training and looks fully fit and sharp, then actually he probably should play because he is a better player than Ryan Yates on paper. And we just need to see it. So, I'd be perfectly open either way. Someone asked earlier about fitness of players and Nico Dominguez. Mark Hoskins. Nuno's press conference is at 1:30, so we'll find out about 2. I mean, say Dominguez is out, Emily. Would it be Yates and Sangare? Would Danilo actually come into the mix there as someone who could break lines?
I think Yates and Sangare would worry me, actually. I'd probably push Danilo in there with Sangare in that respect. I think you'd almost have to completely flip it. And the more I hear you talk about Sangare, I think, well, he's got to have his chance at some point. I know he was away with AFCON and then got injured. And for me, I'm wondering whether it's literally just about him settling into this country and settling into the Premier League. I feel like because we know what he can do and we've seen what he can do when he wasn't playing for Forest, he's got to find that form. So I guess we need to give him that chance. So equally, like you said, if Sangare's in the starting lineup, there's a really good reason for it. It's probably because he's had a really good week in training with his teammates. It's a really difficult one to call. And I'd forgotten about Dominguez, had limped off. But we've not heard anything since. And normally if it's something bad, we'd catch wind of it, wouldn't we? But obviously, like you say, Nuno's press conference is in a bit. So I'm sure we'll find out more then. And I think that'd be quite a blow, actually, if we don't have Dominguez on Sunday, because we know exactly what he can do with the ball. Fingers crossed he'll be okay.
Yeah, I'm hoping it was more of a deadline than a thigh strain or something. Normally, you would hear something like in a little WhatsApp channel or something. Oh, yeah. Doing his out. I haven't heard anything like that so far. The other one, well, there's quite a few tight calls, Pete. At centre-back, I went from Abamadeli, Emily went for Felipe. I think they're both reasonable options. Willy Bolly's equally a good shout. I just went from Abamadeli just for some continuity. I kind of would like to see them emerge, but then you could make a case for a lot of players here, can't you? So what's your stance on it?
Yeah, I think probably similar to yours. I think you can, if I boil it down, it's definitely between Felipe and Omobamadeli for me. I guess I'm rewarding Omobamadeli for the Liverpool performance. And also, not to bang on about this again, but I really want Forest to be investing in players that can be a big part of our future. And that maybe that's a bit of a luxury when we're in the thick of a big run-in with so many decisive moments. But I think he could be a huge part of things for us next season. I don't think he's let us down very many times whatsoever. And, you know, most of our defenders have at moments. And I think he's got like quite a strong all-round game as well. I like his mobility. I like his calmness on the ball most of the time. I don't think he's actually as weak in aerial duels as it might appear. I think he's got a bit of something in most aspects of his game. But I think Felipe Murillo is probably not controversial to say that that's our best pairing on paper if those two players are fit and able and such like. But the sort of slight worry I have with Felipe is that it just the situation with his body just hangs over him, mm-hmm. and he's put in big performances that have been really good recently. But as with so many of them, he did get absolutely ruined against Aston Villa. And there's always that hint of worry with me. And I guess I'm sort of making a judgment about Omobamadeli has generally been quite consistent, I think. I think he deserves the shirt after the Liverpool game. But then you could say the same about Felipe in a couple of performances recently. So again, it's a marginal call and I don't think there's an awful lot in it. I think they're likely to have a physical presence up front, aren't they? So maybe there's a good argument for Felipe being in there, but I've just plumped from Abamadeli, I think half out of loyalty from the last game and half out of investing in the future as much as anything.
Rafik in the comments makes a good point that we've not mentioned the Ekate, and I think probably that's to me because he's been superseded by Omobamadeli as the kind of athletic, decent on the ball defender at the moment. The Ekate is probably the one who's got the most to do, and then there's the question of the physical defender around Felipe and Bolly. But I think Pete's right. Omobamadeli isn't actually bad in the air and he can put himself about. There's always just that question of playing two 21-year-olds together, but they were excellent against Liverpool. Moving further up the pitch, Emily, I think the front four, to me, it picks itself in a sense because there was a comment earlier about tin openers and Stephen Downs saying that Elanga's brilliant on the flanks, hopeless in the middle. And I do kind of feel that. Like, I just want to see Taiwo through the middle to free up Elanga. Like, Origi's done fine, but I don't know. Do you want Taiwo to come back in, or are you happy with Origi and out wide and Elanga through the middle because they're a high-press team?
No, I can't stand that. We did say a one-y, didn't we, up front?
We did.
I was going to say, no, absolutely. I think we need a one-y through the middle and Elanga down the wings. I'm a real fan of Elanga, and I know he misses some absolute sitters and he sometimes holds on to the ball a bit too long. But I just think he's another one of these young talents that's improving every game. And you can see he's giving 100% every time he's on that pitch. We've seen, haven't we, he doesn't work down the middle for whatever reason. He just loves being down those wings. So for me, I do think that front four starts itself, really. I don't see any other front line starting at all. Because again, we've talked about Origi, haven't we? We've talked about how he's really improved. He had a really disappointing start with us and we wondered whether he'd actually have any sort of career with us. But for me, he's still a bench option. And Reina, that, you know, similarly, I mean, we haven't seen anything of him, have we? It just seems really odd that we've got him on loan, but he's not making any sort of impact. And when he does come on the pitch, it's too late in the game for him to really do anything. So far, he's quite disappointing, but I guess we haven't seen enough of him.
Just to add to that as well, Matt, I think Elanga at right wing could potentially be pretty crucial for us in terms of... It's not mine, not this time. In terms of a matchup option as well, I mean, I think Igor's been starting at left back for Brighton recently, and if that continues to be the case, then amateur analyst here, but it strikes me as a pretty obvious opportunity for Elanga to be up against him, and for Murillo or whoever else to be trying to play balls into that channel and us to get him in the position to front him up. And I mean, Igor's quite an aggressive defender, I think, and he's also, I mean, certainly more comfortable a centre-half. I don't think he's a slouch from what I've seen. He looks like he's, you know, pretty mobile, but he's certainly not going to be keeping up with Elanga if he puts the ball in behind and goes. So I'd be hoping that there's opportunities for us to have some real success up there.
Yeah, I'd much prefer to see that. I think that Igor is a centre-half by trade who can play left-back more than a left-back who can play centre-half. So he's a bit of a Dan Burn-type player, and I think he can get at him. Another point that all this shows, Emily, is I think we'll finally have some really good bench options. Chris Woods might come back onto the bench. If Sangare does play, then Yates is good off the bench. And if we need someone to come on and head some balls away in the last 20 minutes, we're going to have Felipe and Bolly. And I think that's something we've missed, haven't we, for a while?
Yeah, with the various injuries and with AFCON, it's been quite a worry when we've seen some of the academy players. You know, it's great to see the academy players on the bench, but yeah, it's nice to think that Origi could come on and put in a shift in the last 20 minutes or so. And yeah, Yates is always a good option, isn't he, to break up play towards the end of the game when it's all getting very tight. And I'm really pleased to see, I saw on the Forest Facebook feed this morning that Wood's back training and he looks very happy and smiley. So I'm really pleased for him because he was, obviously we know, wasn't he? He was starting to fire on all cylinders before he got that injury. So it would be really great if he could find some minutes on Sunday as well and maybe score the winner.
Yeah, I think Chris Wood could be massive for us. Even if he doesn't start games, yeah, just 20 minutes, if we can get... Don't run Tyro into the ground and have Wood to come on. And if he gets two or three goals before the end of the season and Tyro gets four goals or something like that, then, yeah, I think this is going to be... That will be a really massive factor, potentially. Let's move away from the game and just expand a little bit on what we were talking about around Origi and the future of the loan players. There's an article in The Athletic today by Paul Taylor saying that Forest... as it stands, have no plans to sign permanently Montiel, Tavares or Origi, who they have options to buy on. Ribeiro, the young striker, they're going to buy permanently. And Gio Reyna, they don't have an option, but I can't imagine a scenario where he would be here next season as it stands unless something changes dramatically. What's your take on those specific three then, Pete? Tavares, Montiel and Origi. Could we ever sign them for next season or has that ship sailed?
Well, separating what the club might do, because they do lots of stuff, and I'm never too confident exactly what they're going to do. I think the calls that have been hinted at in that Athletic piece are all the right ones for me. I think Montiel's a hard no, not because he's been particularly poor or anything like that, but for me there are a couple of issues at play. Firstly, we've got a right back in Nico Williams who's establishing himself as a good quality Premier League right back, increasingly capable as a one-on-one defender, fantastic attributes off the ball, someone who can provide quality in as an attacking outlet, and that's my dog going now. And the other side of that is that we need to be planning well as a football team now. We have a pretty limited financial area for room for manoeuvre. Even with the Johnson sale, we're still going to have to be careful about how we do things. And I don't think that we can afford to be signing a 27-year-old right-back who has a big reputation, a place in the national side to fight for, a decent financial package attached to him. We need somebody who is going to push Nico, but isn't someone who is demanding a place in the first team and doesn't come with that sort of financial cost as well. I mean, I don't think we can be affording to pay potentially around around 10 million or whatever it is. I think it's 8 to 10 million pounds for what I think will be a backup fullback with the wages attached to him. And that sort of squad planning goes across the pitch, I think, and it's the same answer for both Tavares and Origi. They're too... The financial package is too costly for all of those for them to be permanent signings for us, in my opinion. We're going to have to be... In the summer, the way I would see it is we're going to have to be pretty targeted about things. I think we'll be looking for a good quality young left back who we can hopefully invest in for the years to come in a similar way that hopefully we'll be able to with Nico. I think we'll be looking for a wide player who could perhaps also play as a 10, and we'll need to be investing in another striker. Those positions are all going to cost money if we're going to do it properly, because we need to be doing it properly and not just signing players who, are going to be here for 6 months or a year and then we're going to have to do it all again. It's too expensive and we can't afford to do things that way. So I think we'll have to focus in those areas. And for me, whilst they've all made contributions and decent contributions at times, I don't think we can afford to sign them permanently for what they offer.
Yeah, and I think like Leicester City and Aston Villa, particularly Leicester City, look like a real cautionary tale. But reading about what's happening with them financially, they could come up with a points deduction or start next season with a points deduction. Obviously, we've got our own issues there that are going to be resolved shortly, but it does feel like a summer where we have to get it right. And there is an opportunity as well with a lot of out-of-contract players to move some funds and really target some good quality signings. What about you on those three players, Emily?
Yeah, I have similar views to Pete, really. And I know Tavares was a starting left-back before he got injured, but I feel like particularly Montiel and Origi, like you say, they come with a huge wages, and I just feel like for a player like Origi or Montiel that isn't nailed on starting 11, not even necessarily in the matchday squad, we can't really afford to carry players like that. And I personally don't think any of them have done enough to warrant a contract or a further loan spell. Tavares has proved me wrong because I didn't want to sign him. I didn't particularly like what he did to begin with. And I think he's grown into his position, and I think he's great going forward, and he's getting better at defending. But again, I think because of how much he'll cost and because of his frailties that we know about, I would say no to that. And I think, you know, like Pete said, we've got to be so careful with our finances because we're already in trouble and we're already having to tighten our belt. And I just feel like we can't go gung-ho signing players like we did, you know, in recent years. I think we are starting to learn what we need to do. And we've got the spine of that squad now, haven't we? And I don't feel like those three players are part of that spine. So if they are to go, absolutely great, because it takes them off our wage bill and it saves us some money.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think Montiel, I'm not saying he's Danny Mills that can take a penalty, because he's better than that when you think back to England's 2002 World Cup squad. He is a good player. But aside from Man United at home, Newcastle away, that clutch of games where I thought he played really well, I haven't seen anything like enough to make me think that we should effectively bin off Nico as a starting right back at the moment. So I think that money could be used more effectively. Tavares has done like well recently, but can you bank on him as a left back, a regular starter? I'd rather see Olarena play there. It's quite a hefty chunk of cash. And then Origi, just the money, you know, he's on 100 grand a week. He's got one goal in the FA Cup. I don't think he's got any other goals or assists particularly. So yes, his performances have been bright of late, and I think he could have a useful part to play. But are you going to take that forwards on a 3-year contract where he's going to want similar money? Probably not. And then we've got a lot of out-of-contract players as well. This wasn't on our agenda, but are there any of the out-of-contract players, Pete, that you would retain off the top of your head?
Well, I might be missing people here, but I think the only ones you're considering are Aina's out of contract, but we have an option, as I understand it. I'd be triggering that, I think, pretty quickly. He's a good backup option for both fullback positions, or even a first choice if he needs to be. Then the others, I guess, I'm probably not going to be triggering anything with Harry Arter, I don't think. I think McKenna's out of contract. I think the ones probably you're perhaps thinking about are Bolly and Wood. Bolly, I think, is a comfortable no for me, because again, with the position we're in, I think we need to start looking at younger players in those roles. And I'm not sure about another season for him. I was pretty unsure about whether he'd make another season this season, to be fair. But when he's played, he has been really good, and he's been great for us. But I think the time is right to leave that one. And then Wood is the other one. And I think Wood's a difficult question, and I think it probably relies on what you do elsewhere. Now, we signed Ribeiro, or we've got an agreement to sign him, as I understand it, which I think is actual money. And if we're paying genuine money for a player like him, he probably is going to have to be our third choice striker. So there's room for one to compete with Taiwo. I think Wood has probably earned a discussion about a contract extension, because obviously we're not going to have to pay him anything serious up front, but his wages are big. And there is a question to be asked about whether you can do better elsewhere in terms of investing that year's salary. I think that's an open question, and I'm not really sure of the answer. I appreciate I'm sitting on the fence a little bit there. But I do think he's done well for us, and it's a consideration that the club should probably have. But we do need someone that we can rely on to play when Taiwo is not fit, and even to push him and potentially push him out of the team, because that's obviously what you need from players in backup roles. It's an awkward one. It's an awkward one to sign someone who is going to have to go some to be a better option than Taiwo when he's fit. And it's a problem that often football clubs have at this level, I think. You know, you saw that for years with Spurs trying to find a sort of a backup for Kane that is someone who's good enough to play, but also, you know, is happy being a backup and that sort of thing. I think it's a difficult question. I wouldn't currently be able to be heavily critical of the club if they thought extending Wood's contract was a good option. I think he's done really well this season. But I think there's a question to be asked about it.
Yeah, I'll just read out. Someone was asking who are the out-of-contract players I've got here, and if I'm missing any, do drop it in the comments, or if you guys can think of any. Wayne Hennessy, Scott McKenna, Willy Bolly, Felipe, Cech Kouyaté, and Chris Wood. And I think the only ones I would consider are Bolly, but his body seems to let him down when he has a run of games. We discussed this on Wednesday, I think, or was it third? I can't remember. And Chris Wood, I think Pete's right. Like, really, we need, I've said this before, we need our version of Ollie Watkins or Ivan Toney, and hopefully that's Tyo Wonyi, who's fit. And then Chris Wood is really, he fits that backup slot perfectly because he doesn't seem to be the kind of guy who's going to kick up a fuss. He seems happy to play this role that he's been doing really well this season after a rocky period last season. So I would give Chris Wood one more year if a decent financial package can be arranged that doesn't cost us too much. But I do think he fits the bill. And then I would let the rest go with a shake of the hand and a thank you, especially Scott McKenna. And obviously Felipe's going anyway. Emily, any of that list appeal to you or not?
Same as you guys. The only one I would actually look at is Chris Wood. He's really surprised all of us this season. We got a lot of mickey taking, didn't we, from the Newcastle fans when we took him on. And he did have a wobble last season. But he's really come into his own. And yes, he's a bit older and his wages are high. But actually, why not? Let's give him an extension to his contract. Meanwhile, our talent scouts can go looking for the next backup to Tyo Wonyi so that we're ready for the following season. And I hate to be negative, but if we end up going down, he'd be great in the Championship. But that won't happen. So it's all good.
Yeah, actually, if I think we'd go down, he would end up in like Saudi or something, making amends, no doubt. Olerena is out of contract at the end of the season. But I think Pete's right. We have an option, and I think we'd be, unless it's some kind of crazy wage rise, I think we'd be pretty silly not to invoke it. So I think he's been really good for the most part. Right, I think that covers everything we were going to rattle through today, which brings us to any other business. I'll go first. The only thing I was going to say was Grantham Supporters Club, just a quick plug for them. If you live in the area and you want to travel to games or a bit of a community spirit around the club, so they're on Facebook. I'll probably drop the link for them in the description. But yeah, Grantham Supporters Club, a quick plug for them. And if anyone else is in the supporters club that wants a plug, give me a shout and I'll do my best to help you out. Emily, anything from you?
I've been sort of on and off the podcast recently. I've been working really hard on a documentary for the BBC about the awful Nottingham attacks last summer. It's now live on BBC iPlayer. So if you do want to give it a watch, it's not an easy watch. It's very tough to watch, but the families were really open and honest with us about what they've been through. And if you can sit down and just watch the half hour, I think you'd be really surprised as to how it's, you know, how it's impacted them and the failings that they're trying to uncover as well. So that's on BBC iPlayer. Go to Big Cases and it's called The Nottingham Attacks.
Yeah, well done. Well, you put a lot into it, I know. It's really good. It's really hard to watch, but I would, you know, recommend it to people, certainly for shows what the families have been through. So well done, Emily. And now Emily's going to have to make up for it with loads of appearances. She's on three times next week.
You'll be sick of the sight of this face. Tell me about it.
No. Right. Pete messaged very cleverly in the private chat saying, I completely forgot to mention one other topic around the other fixtures at the bottom of the league this week. So I'll just say what they are as Pete bailed me out. Bournemouth versus Sheffield United, if we're still discussing Sheffield United. Crystal Palace v Luton. Luton have got a big game, because a big week, because they also play Bournemouth away on Wednesday. Burnley, if we're still discussing them, or West Ham away, and Everton go to Manchester United. Any quick thoughts on that, Emily? Does it feel like, is it all on Luton's week there?
I think it is, yeah. And I always say I try really hard not to worry about the other fixtures, but honestly, privately, I obsess about them. I know Burnley and Sheffield United are gone, but I still need them to keep losing just in case. But yeah, let's just focus on ourselves. Luton need to keep losing. We need to keep winning. And if it is that simple, we'll be absolutely fine.
I'll throw Brentford in as well, actually. They've got Arsenal away. I mean, they've only got one more point than us. Brentford and Everton, someone you got an eye on, Pete?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm happy to scrape as many teams into that as possible. I would fancy Arsenal to absolutely dispatch Brentford based on what we've seen recently. So fingers crossed that happens and they're right in the mix with it.
Yeah, I think so. Right, we didn't do Pete's any other business. I know he's got something, so over to you, Pete Blackburn.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry, this is going to just take a couple of minutes, so bear with me. I just want to say a few words to pay tribute to a lifelong Reds fan who tragically passed away just a few days ago. Chris Hunter, who was 35, was an assistant head at Wilsthorpe School in Long Eaton and absolutely loved football. He was a season ticket holder at Forest. He spent years refereeing up and down the non-league football pyramid, and he was an avid listener to this podcast. I personally hadn't seen Chris for many years. He was a friend of a friend, and I used to play football with him at Rushcliffe Leisure Centre. I've got great memories of games between my group of friends from West Bridgford and his from in and around Bingham, and the drinks and chats we had at the Stratford Haven after. I want to pay a more personal tribute to Chris from people whose lives he touched. So I've got a few words from one of his oldest friends, Dave Perry, to share. He says, "Chris was someone who was full of life and good humour. He always had something to say and was a strong character. He loved football with a passion, whether it would be watching Forest or reffing. My last conversation with him was about the Liverpool game, of which he was typically opinionated. He always made an impression on people and he'll be missed dearly." There was a lovely comment about Chris on Twitter. It said, "My daughter has autism and Mr. Hunter had really grown to be someone she trusted and confided in at Willsthorpe, which takes a lot. He really got her. She will really miss him and his support. He'll be sorely missed by all." So from myself, and I'm sure everyone associated with the podcast, I'd like to let Chris's family and friends know that we're thinking of you, particularly his mum and dad, Andrew and Tim, siblings, Dan, Charlotte and Sophie, and his stepdad and stepmum, Brian and Christine. Chris's family and friends are hoping to remember his life by encouraging the crowd at the Palace game at the City Ground to applaud for him on the 35th minute. It feels like a fitting tribute for a man to whom Forest meant so much, and I encourage the club to support this to happen. I hope the Forest family can bring Chris's loved ones some comfort at this unthinkably difficult time. Rest in peace, Chris.
Well done, Pete. Well done. Good work. Good words. I'm sure everyone would echo that. I know we all do, the podcast. Right. A sad note to end on, obviously. But yeah, well done, Pete. Right. We shall be back on Sunday for the post-match show. It's normally straight after the game, but we're going to do it a bit later at 6:30 because... Mark's going to the game, so he's got to travel back, and also it's Liverpool v Man City. So we'll let people watch that because I'm sure they want to as well. And then we're back on Monday after that with Kelvin Wilson, Greg and Temps. And then it's just the Emily Anderson week after that. So she'll just be on, you know, pretty much all the time. So join us for that. Thanks for your company today, everyone. Very much appreciated. Emily, thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm also on Sunday, aren't I?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, rename the podcast. No. Ooh, no, it's good. It's good.
Thank you. I'm gonna go. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll see you on Sunday. Pete, you'll be back next week, I'm sure. So Pete, well done. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, as ever. Much appreciated.
Good man. Good man. Thanks very much, everyone. Have a good day. Enjoy the weekend. I think we're gonna win. So hopefully we'll talk about that on Sunday. But as I say, have a good weekend, and we shall see you soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.